So, is there a predictor for becoming a millionaire? The answer is yes. It's way simpler than you think. I'll reveal it next. And then the 16 worst paying college majors. Let's go. I'm here to help you grow personally so that you can advance up the ladder in your professional life. And at some point, you're going to have to lead well. And so we're here to help you in those areas. Growing personally, advancing professionally, leading effectively. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So let's get right to this. Maybe this is a hot take. Maybe it isn't. But you're not what you eat. And boy, am I grateful for that. Because I had some hummus last night. Haven't eaten hummus in a while. And I discovered that I didn't know that hummus was high in protein. So last night, after my workout, I was feeling a little blood sugar was low, Nathan. And so I dug into some hummus. And I enjoyed it. But boy, am I glad I'm not hummus. It's kind of blah. Yeah, it's nice. So you are not what you eat, but I could say that you are what you think. See, most people, their lot in life is based on how they think, what they think about. And most people believe that the strongest, most effective catalyst for change in their lives is something external, almost like a person comes along, maybe a magical movie character that guides them to this beautiful life or breaks them out of the rut, rescues them, or maybe it's a big event. You know, most people think it's a little bit of fortune, maybe a whole lot of just sheer dumb luck. But the truth is, the indicator for success, the indicator for making a lot of money, or certainly the money that you desire to make to have the margin that you want to have in your life, it is internal. And the single greatest factor for financial success as it relates to earning more money is the mindset. The way you think, what you think about. I mean, I could break it down to those two things. Mindset is a function, a product of how I think and what I think about. Two different acts. How I think and what I think about. So let's use a metaphor to grab onto this. So my mindset, your mindset, is the operating system for our entire body. And by the way, this is not my opinion today. I mean, all of this, you just go Google this stuff and just go look at the data. The way you think, that your mindset. So this is, let's just call mindset, again, how we think and what we think about. It's our operating system. So whether it's Apple or Microsoft, they got the two different operating systems. They're always coming out with new operating systems. You got to download it. And it completely controls and allows the computer to function at its optimum. That's why they keep coming out with new operating systems. They're upgrading, they're solving bugs, adding new elements. And so it allows the computer, the operating system allows the computer to function at its absolute best. And just as a software or an operating system allows a computer to operate at its best, your mindset is the operating system for you in your life. Because the way we think, what we think about has enormous health impact, mental health and physical health. Okay. So your mindset can make you speak, act, and live in an entirely different way, which means can create an entirely different life. And I think we all know this. If you look at someone who struggles with deep, deep pain that turns into addiction, and when they get clean and sober, they have a completely different mindset. And as a result, their life changes. So when it comes to your professional advancement, which changes everything, as I move up the ladder, I grow through skill and experience and education. I move up, I get paid more, I hopefully then have more margin because I'm responsible with the money, and all of a sudden my life changes. But most people are living on an outdated operating system in their mind. I think I could go a step further and say that a lot of people, not most, but a lot of people are living on a dysfunctional operating system. It's not even working right. It's not that it's just outdated, because again, you can have a fully functional iPhone or smartphone or computer without having the latest operating system, but we've all had a phone or a computer not work at all. Like, it's just glitching crazy. It's completely not working, and it's because the operating system is failing. So I want you to be operating from a mindset that is focused on hope. Hope because I see a better future, and I believe that that better future is possible through a series of actions, and I'm going to grow by going for it. So who do we learn this mindset from? In other words, where do we get our operating system to be able to do this, to be able to make money and also experience meaning in your work? The answer, one word, millionaires. Most of you would love to be a millionaire if you're not already. Now, in my experience, millionaires have a consistent set of attributes. Okay? And the attributes can all be tied to what we're talking about, the mindset. They are consistently strong mentally. They are hopeful. You could call this optimistic mentally. They are disciplined mentally. In other words, there is strength, there is optimism, there is discipline in how they think and what they think about. And I will tell you that if you sit down with millionaires, you will always hear a consistent thread of the way they think. They may not say, "I think this way," but as you pay attention and you listen, and below the surface, it is a mindset that pops to the top of the surface as you begin to listen and study them. So it's how they see the world. So I want to use the rest of our, just a couple of minutes here, we're going to roll through this. I want you to think of these as glasses. If I take these reading glasses and I put them on, my vision changes. And so I want you to think of these lens glasses. And so let's go. They see the long game. They've got that long distance vision at the top of their mind. See, they'll delay gratification and they'll do it with some juice. They're excited about it because what they see is, in this moment that I'm delaying gratification, what I'm really doing is I'm setting myself up for a bigger payoff. Does that make sense? Next is the lens of opportunity. They never play the victim, no matter what comes at them, the unexpected changes of life, the ups, the downs, the crazy sideways changes. Instead of looking at it as a complete stop, oh, this is right. They look at it as, okay, this is a temporary delay, and there's an opportunity for me to, at the very least, learn something. So they don't think of it as losing. They look at it as learning is an example there. Let's go next to the lens of adventure. They love taking calculated risks. The word calculated is super important to circle here, if you will, because they're not just crazy risk. They take calculated risk. Now, there are also very successful people that take crazy risk and it pays off big for them, but they also have equally big losses. But consistently, millionaires take calculated risks. They do their research. They're willing to risk a certain amount of their time, talent, money, whatever it is, because they realize it's an adventure and they realize there's a good shot that's going to work out for them at some point. And so when they fail, they go, hey, I planned that that was a possibility and I'm still coming out ahead because I planned for it, didn't destroy my life. Next is the lens of wonder. This is really about curiosity. The millionaires are really about learning. They're about learning new things, new processes, meeting, you know, opportunity in a place of learning. Oh, I just went here to learn and boom, something happened for me. They're always wanting to grow personally and professionally, and they acknowledge that there's always something more for them to learn. There's always somebody new that they can meet. So back to the operating system. You can upgrade your life today in moments by simply deciding that I'm going to take those lenses, Ken, that you just laid out for me, and I'm going to habitually put them into play in my life. And before I know it, I will have the mindset of a millionaire. And before I know it, I will be on my way to radically changing my life and my future. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Be right back. Hey, high school seniors and parents of high school seniors, it's almost graduation time. And if you're not sure about next steps, I want you to listen to this. Coding skills are essential in today's workforce. And my friends at Bethel Tech can help you start a new career really fast and do it cheap. It only takes 9 months to complete a Bethel Tech course in UI, UX design, full stack development, data science, or cybersecurity. And your young person can get over 1,000 hours of experience in a collaborative environment and then get placed. The average starting salary for a junior developer is $66,000. And the field is projected to grow by 22% over the next 5 years. Software development is a career with an enormously bright future. And right now, Bethel Tech is offering you 10% off if you watch or listen to the Ken Coleman Show and you pay cash. So go to BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman, BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman right now for details. Terms and conditions do apply. Here's some of the biggest questions we all ask in life, and it feels like it's incredibly hard to get the answers to these questions. The first is, who am I? Like, what's my unique makeup? Who am I? What do I want to do? Where can I do that? And how do I actually get there, right? Four of the biggest questions in the world. And folks, I'm really excited. We have just launched the pre-sale of a new small book that is, it's not a book that I've written before, and it is paired with our Get Clear Career Assessment, which essentially in about 15, 18 minutes gives you everything you need in a detailed report and then a purpose statement that will become your guide for winning professionally, making more money, experiencing more meaning. And it answers those four questions. The information that you get about you from the Get Clear Assessment helps you answer those questions. But what I've learned is that we've had so many people take this assessment, and some of you get it right away. You get those answers. Some of you need a little bit more help. So we wrote this small book. We're going to throw it up on the screen. It's coming out in May. It's called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. There it is. And so essentially what this book does is it picks you up at the point of your assessment results and practically, very simply walk you through, how do I now move forward? Because the assessment essentially answers the question, who you are, and then it gives you the information on, okay, what is it that I'd want to do, but where I can do it and how I get there is where this book comes in. And so you can get it right now pre-ordered, and what you're going to get when you pre-order it is the audiobook read by me. I just finished it, and the ebook, and each of the audio and the ebook comes with an assessment. So essentially, by buying one product, the book and the assessment, you're going to get essentially two more assessments and two more formats of the book, all the same price. You can get it right now at RamseySolutions.com/store, RamseySolutions.com/store. Also, really quick, hey, if you're enjoying the show and it's helping you, would you help us reach more people? You can do that by giving us a thumbs up on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, share a video if it helps you, and then on podcast, a follow and a 5-star review and a share as well. All right. Okay. Got to get to a story here in my attempt to constantly inform you folks By the way, are we getting any comments on the readers yet? I'm just curious. I don't look at the comments. No comments at all. Okay, good. Great. By the way, I'm not asking for anybody's opinion. I love them, but I was just curious. I've reached that point where I had to do it. 16 worst paying college majors right after graduation. And then we're going to also get to a list of college majors that pay the least for mid-career workers. So two groups we're talking about. So, hey, we've got a lot of college grads coming out here in the next couple months. So we'll look at the least paying college majors for that group. And then for those of you that are mid-career, what are the worst ones? Okay. So here we go. Boy, this is bad news for those of you that are you're into the liberal arts, the performing arts, and theology and religion. Both all three of those come in at the bottom. These are median salaries. So just a caution here for those of you who didn't get educated properly, you don't know what median means. It's not the average, but if you list out all the salaries, top, lowest, and median is in the middle. And so this does not mean that this list is incorrect if you make more than what this list says. It cracks me up when we put these lists out and people go, oh, that guy's full of crap, man. I make way more. It's the median. All right, here we go. And there's a learning here. Okay. $38,000 a year for liberal arts majors. This is coming out of college. This is the median salary. Performing arts, $38,000. Theology and religion, $38,000. Now, just outside the top three least paying majors is leisure and hospitality, coming in at $39,700. Fine arts, $40,000. Nutrition sciences, $40,000. Psychology, $40,000. Social services, $40,000. So you've got essentially a list here. What am I looking at here? About 15 of these. And they're all inside of a hula hoop, if you will, between $38,000 and $40,000. At the end of the list is elementary ed and early childhood education. Now, a couple things to point out here. On the education side, there's a reason why education is never going to pay as much as corporate America. And some of you are already angry about that, but we'll talk about the economics of that in just a second. But because these are government positions, state government positions, it's taxpayer funded, and that pool of money for teacher pay, it's everybody's got their hands in that pool, the taxpayer dollars. So it's just never going to reach. Somebody say, well, that's a problem in America. Well, again, there's this thing called basic economics, and you've got to be able to sustain it. I'm all for teachers making more money, hear me say, but we need to figure out how to do it. And if you privatize education, then you can see that go up. But again, let's look at the college and university system. For professors to make more money, you got to raise tuition. To raise tuition, you got more student loans. And the problem we have with college in America right now, it is crumbling under the weight of its own economic model because they just keep passing the cost on to new students who are getting student loans and starting to go, it's not worth it. So we get that. Okay. Here's another takeaway. If you look at the liberal arts, performing arts, theology, and religion, let's group those together. Okay. What's going on? By the way, this is from the New York Federal Reserve. So this is lockdown data also coming from the U.S. Census as well. Okay. I'm missing something here. I had other stuff and I must have, what did I do with it? I had other stuff that I had planned out here. So I'm going to go off of my memory. Now, before I get to that, The issue here is you are getting a degree that has very limited growth opportunity. Okay. Now, the reason is because it's so highly competitive. So let's just take performing arts. Okay. Performing arts, music, acting, all of the things, right? So there are some people who come out of that. You take your well-known actors, musicians, Broadway, authors, and for the top, let's call it 2% for this discussion, the top 2% in a liberal arts, performing arts, even theology, they can do quite well. Okay? All right? So, for instance, if you are a professor of theology and you write books of a religious nature that are widely read, well, look, folks, you sell a million books, you're doing okay. All right? That's the least attractive area of the three is theology and religion as it relates to making money. But you take liberal arts, performing arts. Let's take performing arts again. It's so competitive. So you go to a really high-end film school or acting school and you try to make it. Well, you're out there slumming it in L.A., New York, Atlanta. Those are your three hubs. And the bottom line is that you're up against so much competition and then limited opportunity. It's not like, hey, we need more doctors and nurses. That's just, it's not the case. We don't need more directors and actors. Anybody that comes out, it's a fight. And so few people make it. And so that's why the salary is so low. Okay. Now, quick pivot to the college majors that pay the least for mid-career workers. Early childhood education, general education, elementary education, secondary education, miscellaneous education. So the top five are all education, and those medians range from 48 to 56. So again, I've already explained why that's the case. Okay. But if you look down the list at the high end of the list, and this is for college majors that pay the least, as you now are mid-career. So they're identifying this as 35 to 45. This is interesting here. Health services, nutrition, psychology, liberal arts. And so here's what's going on. You need to be thinking about this as it relates to what does a ladder look like? So let's just look at professional growth. Professional growth, which is going to lead to my financial growth, is all about how high the ladder can climb. And if you look at some of these majors, if you are at the top of the game in some of these areas that I just listed, the demand, the industry, the margin, if you will, this is Economics 101, is just not there for you to be able to really grow. So you start to go, okay, what do I do with that? Listen, I think if you look at all of these, I could go down the list and I could say the skill set you earned, the experience you earned can be transferred to another higher paying industry. And so for those of you mid-career, hey, I didn't waste my time, but I need to move on and leverage what I've done in the past. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. Hey, if you ever want to get coached up, you can do that. You can email us, ask@kencoleman.com. ask@kencoleman.com. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. And Brian is waiting for us there. Brian, how can I help today?
Hello, Ken. Thanks for taking my call today.
You bet. What's going on?
So, a little bit of context. I've been out of college for about 3 years. I got an engineering degree and been working with a company as an engineer for these past 3 years. About a year ago, I took a job change into a role they call a continuous improvement engineer. The main line around that is it's a lot of trying to influence and work with managers and supervisors. They call it influencing without authority, managing without authority, more or less. And I've been feeling really unpassionate and kind of discouraged in that role. Mm-hmm. But I really do enjoy working with people. So I took your Get Clear career assessment, and the talents that came back were compassion and discernment, which makes a lot of sense. My mission was influencing, which feels weird because I kind of feel like that's my current job, but I don't like it. But I really like working with people. Yeah. And I also really like being in the technical field. And yeah. So the careers that kind of came up from that career assessment was like social services, career counselors, things along those lines. And so
yeah.
My question is,
now,
how can I stay in a... Oh, go ahead.
So one thing I want to say is this was the professional possibilities, which is a suggestion page in the assessment. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the case. That's why in future versions, that's coming out because it ends up confusing too many people because these are just nothing more than ideations for you. But I think if we go back to what you gave us, you said your top three talents were, you only gave me two. You gave me compassion and discernment. What else?
Right. And the other one, I don't remember too well.
Okay. Well, it didn't connect to you as much. But what's throwing you off is your missional result of influencing combined with the frustration of your current role, which is being told that you're managing without authority. And what I think is happening is, my guess is that what you are suggesting is not being received. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And what do you think is causing that to happen? Any hunch or any evidence?
One of the frustrations I have is my boss doesn't sit at the plant and the facility I work at, and the managers I work with don't report into any kind of the chain that my boss does. Mm-hmm. And so my boss gives me direction of, hey, I need you to implement these project processes. And then those managers who have no reporting structure into me say, we don't really want those. And so I have to go back to my boss and say they don't want them. And then my boss is like, we'll push it anyway. And so I'm kind of in this loop of trying to do what they don't want to do, but my boss wants me to do. And
but has he given you authority to go in there and go, hey, guys, I know you don't want to do it, but boss man wants you to do it, so it's got to be done. Is that happening, or is it just this, he's not really using his authority, he's putting it on you to try to convince them as opposed to tell them that it needs to be done? It's like a suggestion versus an order. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's, I don't really have the authority pushed on him.
Right, but he's not even using his authority.
This is true, yeah.
Well, that's why you're frustrated. Because you're not actually making any kind of changes that you are being tasked to make. And you're not even in a role where, I know you're supposed to be you're an engineer for continuous improvement, but you don't have any influence. Therefore, the mission result of influence is confusing the stew out of you, because you think you're supposed to be influencing, and because you're not, you think you're a failure at it. Am I right?
Yeah, that sounds pretty dead on.
So you're like, well, this is confusing. All right, so let's go back to those top two talents of compassion and discernment. There are four types of work in the world. There is people work, there is process work, there is idea work, and there is object work, okay? And so object, what I'm talking about there is you're working with your hands. It's very tactile, if that makes sense. And idea work is creative, it's content-driven type work, right? And they can all, all four of these areas of work can overlap. But in when I look at compassion and discernment, that screams people work. Do you see that?
Yeah, I really do enjoy.
I know. You've already told us. You go, I love working with people. So a guy who likes working with people, it's not weird or out of left field for him to have this number one motivational result in his life of influence, right?
Right.
Because if you love working with people, we just need to determine the kind of people you really want to work with most. So who just think of people, anybody, what group of people would you love to work with most? If I just said, you go do that, you go influence this group of people, tell me who the people are and how you would be influencing them. In other words, what you would be influencing them to do. Don't overthink it, because you already got the answer. It's already in your head. What was the first thing that came into your mind?
I had two thoughts. Is that all right?
I love it.
All right. First one is manufacturing shop floor people trying to remove the barriers and issues that they have so that they can have an easier job.
Love that.
Second, I love working with middle school students in my church ministry and helping them find their passions.
Well, I got great news for you. You can do both. And I would go so far as to suggest that your day job and your primary professional focus is on that first group. and then your hobby, or in this case, ministry, in the personal side of your life is the middle school students of your church. Both of them give you deep meaning when you are influencing both groups of people, and you don't have to choose between the two. You get to do both. So, bottom line is, here's what I'm seeing. You tell me what you think. You got to start looking for a new gig today that allows you to actually be on the floor of a manufacturing company, and you are listening to people. You are then acting on behalf of those people to remove barriers, using your words or something similar to that, to make their work life better, and as a result, their life better. And you are the guy who steps in. And I I'm going to use an old school biblical reference here because everybody gets it. I think you love the idea of being a shepherd, and the shepherd is there to protect the sheep from predators. The shepherd is there to guide the sheep because they're so dumb and stupid they'll just wander off. And the shepherd is there to rescue the sheep if they fall into something. And I think that's leadership. I'm not implying that the people you would lead are dumb like sheep, but I'm just saying that's the role that I think you really love. And I think that is the influence piece that you crave. What do you think?
I think all of those thoughts are very well put together.
All right. So
I don't think I've ever really put it together in that light.
Great. Well, that's my job to just use what you told me, but you gave me all the answers. I didn't pull that out of thin air. And I think it's really important that you walk away from this phone call going, all Ken did was listen to me and spit back to me what I was saying, because this is not my idea. This is who you are. And here's the simplification of this. You are just in the wrong role, my friend. That's all this is. And you just got to find the right role where you have the authority. Like, you don't have any authority right now. And you've got a horrible leader above you who's weak and, quite frankly, not good. And so that's okay. So I want you to start looking for a role where you can step in, use this experience, and move into a role where you are meeting people right where they are. And I love how you said it, on the floor. I think you gave yourself your own job description, and I say, yay, Brian, go do it. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.